If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret, searching for the sound. This is the Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
The Sound Podcast is part of the OSIRIS Network. OSIRIS is creating a community that connects people like you with podcasts and live experiences about artists and topics you love. We'll be doing many live events this summer around the country, which will include artist interviews, contests, and more. Sign up for our newsletter at osirispod.com to stay in the loop. Relix Magazine is a media partner of OSIRIS. For more, visit relix.com. The show starts now. Been listening to Baby Let's Go off of Fruition's latest EP, Fire. They actually dropped the EP filled with four songs a day before they were set to play Red Rocks opening for Railroad Earth. We caught up with J. Cobb Anderson, settled in home after another amazing weekend for the band at that fabled venue. Our conversation began when I asked Jay about playing Aretha Franklin's Natural Woman as a tribute to the Queen of Soul who had passed just days before.
It's funny because I didn't even know we were going to do that until late in the game. But what was great about the encore is we started with a Railroad Earth song, but Kellen actually sang lead on most of that, and him and Todd kind of switched back and forth, and we played it and did harmonies. And then the second song we did was my song, Mount Nanny, and Todd sang some of the verses to that, and we like shared the verses, which was like a complete and total honor you know, to have Todd sing in his voice. He sounded so awesome singing that tune. I was blown away and very, very humbled. And then we did Natural Woman. So to me, like, the whole encore was extremely special, but definitely the Natural Woman was like, came out of left field and probably took the cake there for most people. But it was, the whole thing was super special for all of us. So,
is that something that you guys obviously knew you were going to do before? I mean, it's a song that I'm sure is not part of the regular rotation, so all of you probably had to learn it. Did you practice it beforehand?
You know, it's like when you play with guys as good as, like, Railroad Earth, you know, they just, like, got the form together for it. And we rehearsed it once backstage. Like, I think we only did halfway through it. But with dudes like that, you know, it's one of those things that's just playing music. So it's like, it's, you know, we all do that for a living. So we kind of went over just the basics of how it was going to be done and ran through, like, half of it. And yeah, it turned out really, really great. So
Railroad Earth had to learn your song, Mount Annie. And then I suppose that you had to learn Lovin' You as well. Again, did that take place before the show, or did they already know your song? I mean, it would have been pretty impressive had they already known your song, but is that something that you had to do beforehand just to go over it and so everybody was on the same page?
Yeah. Well, it's funny. With Lovin' You, Fruition actually, God, when we first started, we used to play Railroad songs all the time. And we used to busk outside of their shows to get in for free. And so, like, we were pretty into the Railroad music and just the whole scene there. And so we played Lovin' You a bunch of times. We used to play it back in the day a lot.
Wow.
So we already knew that song pretty well. And also to promote the Red Rock shows, Kellen and Mimi did, like, a duo version of that, and like we videoed it and put it up on, like, Facebook and things like that. And so Railroad saw that, and kind of as an answer, they ended up learning Mountain Annie and recording that and posting that on social media stuff. So we both already knew the tunes, but we did during soundcheck go over Lovin' You and Mountain Annie. We did Mountain Annie backstage, but yeah, we went over them just a little bit, but everybody kind of already knew them, so it wasn't too bad.
And Eric Yates and Jeremy Lawton also sat in, right, from Hot Buttered Rum and Big Head Todd and the Monsters. I mean, it must have been thrilling to have all of those people all on stage all at once doing these songs.
Absolutely. It was definitely a pleasure and an honor to be playing with guys like that. So
that's great. The day before, you released Fire, an EP of four songs. Some of them, obviously, the fans have heard already. The songs on the record are Fire, Dirty Thieves, New Colossus, and Baby Let's Go. How did you decide on these particular songs, that these were the ones that you wanted to put on an EP that you were going to put out real quick?
Well, part of it was three of those tracks were leftover tracks from the sessions that we did for the album Watching It All Fall Apart that we couldn't quite figure out how to fit into the album. So we still had three tracks, that Fire, Dirty Thieves, and Baby Let's Go, kind of, like, left behind. And so we were trying to figure out what to do with them, and we kind of decided that we were going to throw together an EP, but we needed at least one more tune. And Kellen had composed some music to the poem that's on the Statue of Liberty, which is all about, you know, migration of people over into the United States, called New Colossus. The song's called New Colossus. So he took the words and created a melody to it, and we thought that it's an important time to like have a song like that out there. So we decided to throw that on the EP, and we recorded that and threw that on there. And and mainly it was just because we had those songs left over, and we wanted to put something out. You know, we want to be putting stuff out as regular as possible. So, and we thought these songs were too good to just, you know, let them sit.
What's cool about this project and Dirty Thieves and New Colossus in particular is that you are going to take the proceeds from the streaming of these tracks, at least for the first 3 months of the digital sales and streaming of these tracks, and send them to two particular organizations. In the case of Dirty Thieves, money is going to go to the Community Housing Partnership, and the song itself was inspired by a show that you were playing at the Brick and Mortar in San Francisco's Mission District, and what you saw, was it after the show or before the show, just hanging out during the show? What, I mean, about the homelessness in San Francisco.
Right. I wrote that tune after, well, what happened was, is we played at the Brick and Mortar, and that night we ended up getting an Airbnb kind of down in the Mission there. And so, you know, finding a spot to park down there with a van and trailer is not very easy. We already kind of have thought, you know, that it's very, very possible and pretty likely that our van could be broken into. So we actually left all of our van equipment. We left it at the Brick and Mortar that night, so we didn't have anything in our trailer. And then all the stuff that we had in our van, we either dropped off at the Airbnb or we just kind of left, like, and we didn't leave anything in the van that we knew of that was very valuable, you know, because we knew it was a very likely chance that we could be broken into. So we ended up finding a spot to park it that night. The next day we show up to the van and a window's busted out. And the stuff that they took was like all of our sleeping bags and blankets and pillows, and they took a bunch of phone chargers, and we forgot that Mimi had a backup mandolin in there, so they stole that, and I had like a little kind of crappy traveler guitar, and they stole that too. I forgot to take that in. But that was like the extent of the stuff they took. We had like a money pouch, just for like spare cash for like tolls and stuff. And they didn't take that. And we had a box of like, just like leftover green room booze and stuff. And they didn't take any of the booze. They just took these blankets and like some of the other stuff. So of course, you know, you get to the right initially off the bat, you feel so angry that, you know, your vehicle was broken into and things were taken from you. But as I started thinking about that, we ended up dropping the van off at this window repair place, like right down the block. And as they were repairing the window, we went to walk to get food to eat. And it's just, you know, if you've been down the Mission, it's the homeless issue down there is just so bad. It's crazy. I saw like a lady as old as my grandma, like sleeping in a, you know, sleeping on in a doorway, and like just people everywhere, like begging for food. Meanwhile, I'm like thinking about how angry I was that they had stolen my blankets, but, you know, knowing that I could easily go and buy more blankets because I'm doing all right, and our window is getting fixed already because we have a band fund, you know. It's like, so I got it pretty good, you know. And then I started feeling like kind of bad about feeling like that myself, and like wishing that there's something that could be done. So I ended up writing that song kind of as an idea of it was kind of a, not only to like just draw attention to like that kind of the feeling that, you know, it could be worse for me, but also to kind of draw attention to it. There's there's an issue down there, and that kind of thing. And so we ended up, we got the window fixed and everything. Wrote this song, and I thought, and we thought that it would be a great idea to be able to throw the money at that actual, the issue that's going on down there. So yeah, the San Francisco Community Housing Partnership, we did some research and asked some friends and stuff. And, you know, from what we've been told, they help the homeless secure, like, housing and become more self-sufficient, like, better than most of all the other programs.
It's good that you're able to give back and that you're able to see the broader picture as opposed to, you know, just that, you know, some gear that, again, as you said, could easily be replaced, right? I mean, it's good that you're able to give back in that way. You know, I asked Kellen about, when I had him on the show, I asked him about, you know, living in Portland and kind of living in this bubble away from the rest of the world and not necessarily seeing the rest of the world on a regular basis. And I know that you guys tour and you know, you're going to be out on the road for a big chunk of the fall here, but does it surprise you how different the circumstances are across the country? I mean, you travel really west to east and you must see circumstances of people who aren't as fortunate as you guys, or are in a different circumstance as you guys on a regular basis. And does the sort of predicament of what's going on in the United States enter the consciousness on a regular basis when you're away from home?
Absolutely. All the time. I mean, even back at home, you know, there's those kinds of issues of like homelessness and things like that. And also with the new Colossus song, we're going to give a lot of that to the National Immigration Law Center. You know, we're donating all of the money for that. We see that kind of thing too. You know, we hear stories about, you know, some people getting taken out of the community and like shipped away, you know? So it's like, and it's all over the place. And it's even at home too. So it's not just like in the bigger cities. It's all over the place. But yeah, it's definitely something that we notice everywhere in America.
You're not specifically political as a band or as, you know, lyricists, but it is something that obviously you need to pay attention to, particularly now given what's going on in the political climate of the United States. Is that sort of a fine line that you want to tread, that you don't necessarily want to become a political band or a band that relies on the politics of the day to sort of have something to talk about? Is it tough as a lyricist to kind of, you know, still have the ability to talk about the world around you, but at the same time not comment too much so that you alienate some or, you know, become this...
Right, there you go. You said it right there. It's like, it's exactly like that. Like, you definitely don't want to, like, alienate anybody. But there's a level of, I guess, responsibility as an artist. Like, when you get to a point and you have enough people listening to you and the proverbial shit hits the fan, like, I think you have to say how you feel in your own way. Hopefully without cutting anyone else out. But, you know, that's what's naturally going to happen a lot of the time, like if you're a political type of band. I actually had a band when I was younger. It was really political. We called ourselves Reed 1984, and this was during the Bush administration. And we were all about the double speak and but I learned a lot from being a very political band. I learned that it's hard to get your point across in a way that doesn't, like, scrutinize the other side or, like, make you end up taking sides with people that you may not necessarily agree with either. So when it comes down to it, is like, with this EP, it felt like what the things that we are drawing our lines for are pretty graspable to, like, the average American public, which is what, I mean, that's the majority of America. Immigration and like homelessness are things that I think need to be addressed in this, you know, in this day and age. And so we feel comfortable about drawing that line. There's definitely more songs that I've been writing, and I think as a songwriter, you definitely get to a point where you're in like an era like we live in right now, where you do want to say something and you feel like you need to say something, but it's all in how you say it. It's like, what are you trying to do? And I think more what we want to do more than anything with our music, especially if we're going to be political with it, is bring people together rather than separate. So I don't know. It's tricky, but you know, we're doing what we can.
Is that an ongoing thing for you? I mean, writing, you're on the road so much and you probably have an acoustic beside you. And is that something that, you know, either you're making voice notes into your phone or you're writing down something that you see that you want to get back to? I talk to lots of, you know, songwriters, and that's kind of the experience. I'm curious if you cultivate those stories on the road or cultivate those ideas on the road and then go back and write stuff out, or do you complete full songs while you're on the go and maybe even, you know, perform them pretty quickly?
It's all, I mean, every single thing that you kind of said is, I'm constantly thinking about songs and I'm constantly writing songs, and sometimes you write them all out at once really fast. Sometimes you just come up with ideas. So like what I constantly do just to keep my brain going is to, like, you know, I get ideas going and I'll work on those, and while working on those, I'll still be open to like trying to hash out a brand new situation. But yeah, I'm constantly thinking about and writing songs. I'm always trying to just keep my eyes open to stuff that will inspire new material. And there are times where we're on the road where we end up playing something that's like brand new in certain scenarios. If we're feeling it, you know, I'll be like, hey, I got this tune. You guys want to do it tonight? And everyone will be like, well, let's listen to it. And we'll try it out and we'll do it. But yeah, when it comes to writing, it's just constantly. That's how I am anyway. We're all different in the band when it comes to the songwriting in the band, but I'm pretty obsessive.
You do have a very busy September and October, moving from west to east and into the middle of the country and then back out again.
Yep.
Is it as much fun as you imagined it would be, being stuck with your bandmates on the road for long stretches at a time? Are you living the dream at this point?
You know, I would say that's all perspective, you know, in the end. But we've been nationally touring for so long. It's just kind of our lifestyle now, you know. It's like some people go to work every day at 9 and get off at 5. And some people work the night shift and they go to work at 8 and they get back, you know, at like, I don't know what time it was, you know, but for us, Our job is to get in a van and drive around, and it's definitely fun at times, but it's also at times it's really hard, and at times it's exhilarating, and at times it's really boring. It's like very, very extremes, it seems like our job is. So during those low times, you gotta try and remind yourself that it's not as bad as you might think it is, because just like with anything, it's just perspective and like happiness and satisfaction of where you're at is all up to you, I think, really in the end. So we have been touring together so long that we know how to deal with each other. And I think that's key. When it comes to living the dream, it would be nice to be able to afford a tour bus. We're not quite there.
Right.
So we're still cramped up in a van. But, you know, every step you take, you got to embrace. And it's like one of those things that, you know, there's throughout the years, we've been a band for 10 years. And throughout the years, it's been like, if we could just get that new amp, or if we could just get that new thing, then we'd be, and then you get the new thing, then it's something else. It's always something else, you know? So it's a constant evolution of stuff. And you gotta be happy with what you get, you know? We're pretty lucky.
Do you talk to members of Railroad Earth or Hot Butter Rum or some of the people who have been at this, you know, a little bit longer than you, and ask them questions mm-hmm. about, you know, specifically traveling and being on the road and getting along with your bandmates? Or is that just stuff that you just, you know, take in as you watch Railroad Earth play Red Rocks?
And I think it's just stuff like when it comes to the logistical stuff like that, you know, we don't get a lot of time with our like peers and our like band comrades. So it's like, you don't really dig into that, those kinds of dynamics very often, unless you have like an issue you're dealing with or something, and you can, cause it's not always easy to just like dig in and get into real talk with bands when you only have so much time, you know. But there are definitely, you know, certain like Greenside Bluegrass, we're like best friends with those guys. So like, we've been able to talk with them about all kinds of stuff, and like, when we have an issue with, you know, certain dynamics of like traveling and how to do stuff, they've always been there to help out. But yeah, you can talk. I mean, that we're all in the same boat. So anytime there's a real issue or a real question, musicians are always open to like helping each other, you know?
Yeah. And I would assume that you also impart some of those lessons to, you know, Yak Attack or Little Smokies, people who,
absolutely. Yep.
Are on the rise totally. Themselves, right?
They're really all really good friends of ours. And yes, they definitely have, both of those bands have actually exactly what you're talking about. Like, some of the members have like come to me and talked to me about like, well, how did you guys get to here? What, how did you do this? And then I tell them, you know, it's just like the same thing. It's the cycle.
Hey, man, thanks for doing this. Really appreciate it, especially on a day off, and especially after Red Rocks. It's great to chat. And I think, you know, what you're doing for a Community Housing Partnership and National Immigration Law Center is really terrific. And we'll provide links on our website to both those organizations and, of course,
great.
To the record, so that if people want to listen to it and know that the money that the streaming services ultimately pay the band are going to go to those two organizations, at least they'll know a little bit more about those organizations, and they're able to help out as well. Hey, man, thanks again for doing this, and thanks for making such great music, and we'll catch you down the line another time, all right?
Absolutely.
We really dig what Fruition is apparently about. They are extremely thoughtful and quite talented. That's a great combination. You should definitely listen to Dirty Thieves and New Colossus, as money will go to both the Community Housing Project and the National Immigration Law Center. For more on Fruition, visit fruitionband.com. You can also listen to our essential collection of Fruition songs at tsp.show/ecfruition. As we leave you, have a list of fan favorite Fire, available obviously on the EP Fire from Fruition.
All alone in a cold room with a candle and a gun. It had no company now, footsteps down the hall. I've been talking to myself, I don't feel like I agree. Don't know why, I don't care, something's coming over me. When there's fire, fire on the other side of town. Yeah, there's fire, and you better get down. We'll be right back.
just 22, but I don't mind dying. Well, there's fire, fire on the other side of town. With all the other tragic news, good folks go bad, the world's gone crazy, and each of wondering what to do. When there's fire, fire on the other side of town.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. Subscribe to our newsletter today at thesoundpodcast.com/subscribe. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. The Sound Podcast is part of the Osiris Network. For more, visit osirispod.com. Thanks for listening.
Osiris.